We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
We've got Dan, and the Yankees just made a blockbuster trade. This is your breaking news. The Yankees have done it. They've gotten the missing piece. We have Clay Holmes.
Cash God, lurking in the weeds like a ninja.
Yeah. That's it. Season's over. Everybody else, pack it up. Bring the rings to New York. Because Clay
Holmes.
We've
been clowning on Cashman. We've been clowning on him. But look, he made the move that we all wanted. He's been lurking in the weeds, like everybody said. And he went out and he got his guy. And the World Series is back on.
What is this move?
How much do the Yankees hate Hoy Park? They refuse to call him up despite having 20 guys basically on the COVID list. They call him up. They give him one at bat in like seven games, and then they trade him to the worst organization ever, the Pittsburgh Pirates. I want to know what Hoy Park did to us that pissed the Yankees off so much to trade him.
I'm not saying Hoy Park's Derek Jeter, right? The guy's batting 327 in AAA. Tyler Wade puts on a Yankees uniform every day and then gets paid American money for that. This guy couldn't get a shot. And we had to trade two guys? Two guys?
Yeah, the other guy's good too. The other guy, Castillo, has an 850 OPS in AAA. They're both putting up good numbers.
And we traded for a reliever with a 5.6 ERA.
He's got a 5.57 ERA this year, career 4.93. Career negative one WAR.
Like
Jack,
we,
the peripherals and the analytics are off the charts.
Are the Pirates making a playoff push that I don't know about?
I think they probably just need bodies.
I mean, this really feels like... It feels like we're selling at like the AAA level. Is this like a practice sale? Is this a warm-up trade?
They're getting the guys loose. Nah, I mean, the organization clearly, despite Park's numbers, he was hitting home runs basically every day, like you said, hitting 330. For whatever reason, the analytics department didn't like this guy, and you know that's the end-all be-all with this franchise. Now, the analytical team didn't like him. He's gone, and we bring in this shitty reliever, just like we brought in the shitty reliever, Wandy Peralta, who also sucks. It's the same concept.
Mike Tauchman only gave up one run in relief the other day. So, kind of lost that trade.
He could come in and replace Chad Green. He gives up three runs every time he comes in the ninth inning.
I don't understand this trade at all. Like, normally there's someone who's on Twitter who's like, no, this is why this is a good trade. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, usually they make this bullshit under the radar trade on deadline day. Like, we're all waiting for a big trade, and then at 3:30 they make this trade. But this year they did it the Monday before the deadline, so the timing's a little weird.
Yeah, like normally it's, oh, hey, we were going to go out and get Cole, and we got Clay Holmes. Man, this is such a weird feeling. Just, oh, so, I mean, hey, yo, we swept the Phillies. We swept the fuck out of them. That's revenge, yeah, buddy.
Represent.
Do you talk shit to, like, your buddies from high school?
Do you, like, a little bit, but I'm so, like, down that I didn't even care. Honestly, all we did was really hold serve. I didn't feel like I was in a position to really talk a bunch of shit. And to be honest with you, I would have traded those two Yankee Stadium wins for the Philly wins. Like, the games in Philly counted a lot more.
They counted more for momentum. They were on a weekend, so you know they count more. Weekend games always count more. We had drank a lot, so that counts more. Yeah,
and we were there. That when you're there, the game counts 10 times as much as if you're watching it on TV. That's a fact.
Yeah. But the Phillies stink. And so we went into the week. You thought we'd win one game.
Yeah.
You thought we'd go 1-6. I can't count. So I said we'd be about 500 because I thought there was only six games for some reason.
Yeah, you said four wins and they had three. And I said one. So you were closer.
No, you win. I had... Yeah, I get. Well, wait, did they?
Or no, you had three. No, you had three exactly. I suck at math too. You had one Philly win and two Red Sox wins for three total. So you nailed it.
I nailed it. And I nailed it because I'm smarter than everyone. But no, I thought it was just going to be a split. And as soon as we got the two from the Phillies, like, I'll be honest, there was a part of me that's like, oh, what if we won three this weekend? What if we did? Like, I talk a lot of shit on Twitter, but in my head, I'm insane like the rest of us. And it's just like, yeah, what if we did win three?
There was a point where after we swept Philly, which, by the way, this was despite Aaron Boone, in spite of Aaron Boone, with a 5-2 lead, he brought in Nick Nelson, who promptly let up three runs, and they were lucky to escape with the bases loaded. That was a horrible move. They deserved to lose, but they won. And then going into the ninth inning, they're up 3-1 on Thursday night. You're like, okay, we swept the Phillies. We're going to take the first one here in Fenway. We got Cole going tomorrow. I was having the same conversation in my head that I think every Yankee fan was. I mean, when you go into Fenway, you win the Thursday night game, or you think you're going to win the Thursday night game, and you have Cole going Friday, all of a sudden the wheels start churning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have rethought, like, how do I re-enter Yankee society? Because I was wrong a lot of times. And the problem is, I'm like, let me think about this in the pool. I always am thinking about it in the pool. And then I get out of the pool, and we have lost.
Right? And the funny thing is that people are always like, well, you're not allowed to come to the parade. You're not going to be able to admit when you're wrong. We would love to be wrong. I will gladly eat shit, pin the tail on my face, whatever you want to do, if we storm back and make the playoffs and have some sick run. That would be an incredible problem.
I would love to be so fucking wrong. You know how wrong I've been about a billion things and how dumb I've been? And yes, it's not even like if I was to be wrong on this, something so miraculous would have to happen. Like, we're talking about winning two out of every three for the rest of the season to maybe get into the playoffs and then to get hot in the playoffs and win the World Series. I would gladly be wrong. I would skip the parade. Fine. You were right. People have nothing else going on in their lives, so they have to fucking cling on to this season so they have their online friends to fucking tweet at. Great. Good for them. I want them to be right. I want to be wrong. But unfortunately, the Yankees are in between me being wrong. And they stink right now.
They are. And they were right in position Thursday night. Some people were beating up Boone for not keeping Encesa, even though he'd only thrown five pitches. I don't think that's fair. Green was the best reliever that they had available that hadn't gone 2 days in a row. You have to go to him. The issue with Green is he has the Dellin syndrome where he just can't fucking pitch in the ninth inning. You saw it in Houston 2 weeks ago. He imploded. You saw it Thursday night in Fenway. The ninth inning is different. He can't do it. I think it's clearly obvious.
Yeah. And, you know, it was an interesting thing with Dellin, too. where Girardi would trot him out there for that second inning sometimes, or, hey, we're trying him in the ninth. And I get it. Sometimes you've got to throw him in the ninth because you don't have, you know, Chapman's thrown 2 days in a row, whatever the case may be. But they would just keep trying with Dellin, and we keep trying with Green. And sometimes you just have to accept that, like, the guy is what he is, and he's really good at that. Like, not every salesperson should be a sales manager. You could be the best salesperson. You don't have to be a sales manager. You could just be really fucking great at that and really help out by filling that role amazingly.
Well said. Yeah, can't say it any better. And I would have bent the rule. Obviously, you know, they have this rule where they won't use a reliever 3 days in a row. And they kind of started this in 2019. And in 2019, they were basically 10 games up the entire year. So they wanted to have this load management rule. They were winning fine. But now when you're desperate for wins, like, you got to go to Britton or Chapman there, I think, once Green doesn't have it. And I don't care which one. I don't care who it is. But, like, those guys are making a combined $34 million a year in Britton and Chapman. Neither of them can pitch 3 days in a row ever. Like, to me, that's just not good enough.
With the season on the line, if there's a rainout in the World Series, so you lose a travel day, and Chapman and Britton have closed out games 5 and 6, they're not available in game 7?
Exactly, exactly. The load management doesn't work when you're 10 games behind. You just can't do it.
Game 7. It's always game 7. Every game is both a must win and a can't lose.
I think part of the stubbornness of this organization is they're too stubborn or proud to realize how bad of a position they're in. Like, they don't realize they're a fourth place team. They must think they're in first place.
Well, we're in third place. Guys. We're in third place.
I forgot. We're a half game.
We're in third place. So show the proper respect. Also, shout out to Peter Tallyou. I don't know. He just happened to tweet at me and asked if we were going to talk about the trade on the pod. So I was like, recording right now, about to shout you out. Fucking like that guy.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. That's how it happens. Yeah, I mean, I get that you have a system, and I get staying in the system. When the system works, the system's not working. You've got to get creative with it. You've got, I mean, what is the value of any of these guys if when we need them to do something, they cannot do it? I'm not saying they fail. Like, Green has value. He goes in the ninth inning. He blows that game. He still has value because that's not his thing. We're asking him to do, you know, something a little extra. He at least shows up and gives it a try. If you're paying a closer $17 million.
Highest paid closer in baseball.
In American currency. You have to, on a Sunday in Fenway, when you're 8 games back, you have to be able to get more than 3 outs out of him. When the game is just being choked up, when you have the opportunity to build a real fucking win streak by being available on a third day in a row, you've got to be available. Is it his decision? Is it only Boone's decision? Is it Cashman's decision? I don't know whose decision it is. But for that amount of money, I don't know, man. You got to fucking sub yourself into the game.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the sad part about Thursday is Boone had a second chance to do it. You know, they have a lead. They take the lead in the top of the 10th with a sack bunt, sack fly, whatever. And instead of realizing his mistake and going to Britton or Chapman, he brings in Brooks Koerski to try to save a one-run lead at Fenway, getting the automatic runner on second. Did he really think that Brooks Koerski was going to trot onto that Fenway mound in front of a sellout crowd in the middle of the night and shut down the heart of the Red Sox order? You got to be fucking kidding me. And then he spikes the first ball to the backstop. I think he threw, 5 wild pitches in that inning? He doesn't go out to talk to him. Matt Blake doesn't go out. They just leave this fucking loser on the island out there. How you don't go to Chapman or Britton there, it's disgusting. It makes me sick.
You know what's trending on Twitter right now?
What?
4.93 ERA. I'm dead serious. Clay Holmes, you made it. That's his ERA this season. His 5 ERA, that's his career. He's having his, like, best year ever. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at, I've talked about it a billion times. It's been the issue with this team big time is, like, they can't finish a series. They can't finish a game. They can't have a team on the ropes and just fucking end it. They can't put their foot on their throat and just kill these guys off. And listen, Boone continues to be outmanaged. And I'm not even like, it's not, it's gotten so comical because it's not like, hey, you're getting, he didn't get outmanaged by Alex Cora. Like, he got outmanaged by himself. He, you know, you're not doing basic baseball things. You're not giving yourself, you've got less than two outs and a guy on third, set up a double play. Give yourself a shot that you're going to get it. Because even on a fucking ground ball, you might give up the run.
That was pathetic on Sunday. And that's the thing. We're not second guessing Boone. We're first guessing him. Like, he's not realizing things that we're realizing on our couch in the moment. It's not like it's the next day and we're like, oh, he should have done this. He should have done this. He's not bringing the infield in. He's not intentionally walking the batter to set up the double play. And everybody questions it on the spot. Like, how can we see these things from our couch and he doesn't see it from the dugout? That's the scary part.
And so I think it's – we've talked about it before. When someone – you know it if you've ever been fired. You know it if you've seen someone get fired. And, you know, it's not like, hey, this one incident happened and, like, you've got to be escorted out. Just, like, over time. Like, salespeople, you see them not hit their numbers. And you start to see how they're just kind of trip over themselves. You know, you get in this rut where you just – things keep going wrong and wrong. And now you're in your own head. And that's what's happened to Boone. Boone has just – he knows what's on the line, and he's simply not responding to it. And it's not even not responding to it, like setting himself further back because he's, you know, going to lose his job.
Oh, it's obvious. It's terrible with him. It's hard. It's hard watching him manage. He's clueless. And the quote about – he had this quote, I guess, Sunday, and he was like, you know, we've gotten knocked down this season before and we've bounced back. You haven't bounced back. You're still 10 games back. You got knocked down the first week in April and haven't gotten back up. And he keeps talking about adversity and we're bouncing back. You haven't bounced back from shit. It's these rose-colored glasses. I think we're all just over at the positive spin. We wanted somebody a little bit more positive after Girardi, but – this clearly isn't working. He's too rosy. He's too positive for me, and I think for everybody.
It, you know, I know you like to avoid politics, but I tweeted that it felt like Donald Trump is managing the Yankees when it was just like, you were just saying that it's just going to go away. COVID's just going to go away when it gets warmer. Like, that's what he just said to us. And it's also, Donald Trump would always say his healthcare plan, we're going to have it in 2 weeks. He said, we're going to have it in 2 weeks for 4 years. And that is Stanton playing the outfield. Every series, it's like, oh, he's about to. He's ramping up.
And it's like, why does he even say these things? And you're right, because on I think it was Thursday, the press conference, Boone was like, Stanton will get a game in this weekend at Fenway Park. And I tweeted out, left field at Fenway is the shortest distance at any stadium. If you're going to do it here. And they just never did it. So why would we think that he's going to do it in Miami when the season's probably going to be over at that point? It's never going to happen.
Like, and I don't get when he didn't do it on Sunday. Well, Chris Gittens went on the IL. Where does that factor in to him playing left field?
I have no idea. I thought they were going to put Stanton in left and put Gary at the DH since he had the sore back.
Yeah.
But they just had him catch with the sore back. So they had Gary catch with a sore back because Stanton couldn't play the outfield. Like, the game of musical chairs that results in Stanton not being able to play the outfield is horrible for the rest of the players.
Well, and what I'm saying is, like, all right, if Gittens doesn't get hurt, were they gonna, I guess, probably send down Ryan Lamar for Gio to come back, and then Gittens is gonna DH? He's batting 111. He's batting 111.
I think, I've seen him get one. He had the one home run in Buffalo against the Blue Jays. That's the only hit I've seen him get.
Yeah, so when you think about, I don't know, trying to energize your fan base, trying to energize your team, trying to show that you have what it takes to play at, you know, the highest level of the game, which is the World Series, which involves not having a DH at times, you fucking run the guy out there on the easy outfield to play. It's the easiest place to do it in baseball, and we punted that. And I get it, because some people said, well, how are they supposed to know that it was going to rain and the field would be wet on Sunday? I don't know, because that's what it was like in Chicago the day before. Being a weatherman is fucking easy as fuck, and they're wrong all the time. Just call someone in Minnesota. What happened there today? That's what we're getting tomorrow. That's it.
And
we knew it was.
And to your earlier point, what happens if it's drizzling during the World Series? You got to pull Stanton off the field. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Well, Chapman's not available. We already know that.
Right. He didn't play the field in Boston. He also hasn't hit at all against Boston. This season against the Red Sox, he's 7-for-45. That's a 156 average with 21 strikeouts and two RBIs. No home runs. Look, the thing about the Red Sox guys, Devers, Martinez, Bogart, they step up against the Yankees. They hammer the Yankees. You see Devers, how locked in these guys are. And then Stanton with Judge out at a time when we desperately need him to step up, he does shit against the Red Sox. And that's one of the reasons I think that, I don't know, what are they, 4-10 against them this season? I think that's a big part of it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rafael Devers is so good at baseball.
He's an incredible hitter, man. He's an incredible hitter.
He's so fucking good. He's always smiling. Seeing the Red Sox dugout just like having fun, talking about the home runs they just hit to each other, is just, that's what hurts the most.
There was a Marley Rivera quote where it quoted a couple of anonymous Yankees, and they were like, it's hard looking over there and seeing how much fun they're having. So you're not the only one that notices that. The Yankee players notice that too.
I've got the pulse of this franchise.
Yeah.
I have my finger on the fucking pulse. Yeah, I mean, listen, Stanton's a big money guy. Stanton is a guy who, you know, should be in the talks for being the captain of any team that he's on, being a leader. And between not playing the field, and this is, you know, in 2018, he had that stretch of 88 straight games with a bad knee because Judge was out. And we're just getting the opposite of that right now.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. And like we said, you to win championships, your best players have to have their best seasons against your biggest rivals, the Rays, the Astros, the Red Sox. And he's just not doing it. And I think there was an at-bat, so many bad at-bats, but I think it was Sunday in the seventh inning. He came up, bases loaded, two outs. They were up 3-0, and he had a chance to, you know, basically end the game. And he strikes out on a couple of pitches that were at his feet or behind him, like not even close. And it's just, it's tough when you see some of the swings that he takes because he misses the ball by feet up there.
I tell you how, like, and you know, because you were kind of through the same thing. Like, when the Yankees suck, it's all anyone wants to talk to you about.
Yeah.
So we go to my brother-in-law's yesterday, and he's just like, how the Yankees doing? And I'm like, you know, we're up 1-0. What, we suck, you know? And then it gets to, like, the seventh inning. And now I've got my phone propped up, like at the table, and I'm, you know, I'm in the corner. Yeah. I'm sneaking little looks here. And he's like, "What do you got going on? What's going on? I thought they suck." And I'm like, "I don't know. It's Sunday in Fenway, and we got no hits going on." And then, yeah, and then we just did what we did. You know, we fucking choked that game up, and it's just so, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Because here's the thing. If, and I know we have this expensive, so we have this expensive bullpen so that we don't have to have our starters go deep, right?
Yep.
But we can't really rely on the bullpen at times because sometimes they're slumping lately. But at the same time, we know that we need more out of our starting pitching. Because the bullpen at times struggles, and we need to show that we have the depth that you need to go in postseason. So when a starter is under 100 pitches, has given up one hit, has a four-run lead, maybe you don't pull him. Maybe you let the guy go out there. You show some confidence in the guy one time. But instead, we go to the pen, and we just leave guys out there to die. Like, it's a matter of guys like not stepping up and not delivering their role. I get that. I don't know. Give Herman more than one hit.
Yeah, no, for sure. He had only thrown 100 pitches. And remember, he'd been used as reliever. He hadn't made a couple of starts recently. Like, he hasn't thrown a lot. He's fresh. He didn't pitch last
year. A guy
year.
Who, like, we were counting innings in 2019. It was like, oh, you know, how many innings is he going to have left? Now the guy hasn't done anything in forever. He's showing us something. Give him a fucking shot. Because if we're going to make this miraculous turnaround, we're going to need starts like that. We're going to need guys who can go out there and get us eight innings besides Cole.
Yeah, and that's the shame of it is Tyone and Herman were brilliant this weekend. Tyone went, I think, seven innings, three runs. Herman took a no-hitter into the eighth. They were awesome, and we got one win out of the four-game series. And I think, you know, you kind of alluded this to this, but it's a combination. It's a combination of guys not doing their jobs and Boone not putting them in the best position to win. And also, he has no feel for when guys are struggling to go get them or go talk to them. Like you said, he just leaves them out there to die, even if they're spiking pitches to the backstop. It's like, how does he not have that feel to see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I think he's lost the team.
Oh, that's obvious. That's painfully obvious, for sure. For sure. And the Red Sox, like, people are like, oh, but the Yankees could have easily won three out of these four. Well, they didn't. You know why? Because the Red Sox are a better team, and better teams find ways to win these close games, these 50-50 games. That was Thursday night, Friday night. All four of these games were 50-50 games, and the Red Sox are a better, tougher team, and they found out a way to win three of them. It's that simple.
I have to find it. There's that dude, Batista.
Yeah.
On Yankees Twitter, he tweeted something out yesterday. Why can't I fucking find him? Just talking about, like, the games that we have lost, right? And, you know, games that we've blown when we had the lead in the eighth inning, games that have been tied when it's gone further, and, like, just we've lost, like, 15 games where we've either been tied or had the lead after the eighth inning, right?
Yep.
And the end result is that people just start tweeting, like, well, if we got half of those, like, it'd be a different season. And people try to find all the spin of that. And all you're saying, you're using a lot of words to say, if we were a better team, we'd be a better team. We wouldn't blow these games if we were a better team. We wouldn't, you know, we'd be able to close out and sweep teams if we were a better team. We are the team that we are. We are about four games over 500. As the season progresses, you know, if you do the math on it, what would we probably finish, what, six games over 500?
Yeah.
That's a great season in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
But, you know, that's all it is. And that's what this season is. And I think we're, what are we, 3.5 back from the second wild card?
3.5 back of the second wild card and 9.5 back in the division.
Yeah, I mean, the division's not even a fucking conversation, because here's the thing.
You're right.
If you look at it, we don't even have to get super hot to get the second wild card. Like, we could play. We don't have to
take like 93 wins, I think, 93, 94 wins. They'd have to go on a pretty big run and pass, I think, three or four teams, Seattle, Oakland. There's a bunch of teams ahead
of us. No, there's only one team. There's two teams ahead of us.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up, the standings right now, but it's like Seattle's right ahead of us. Like, it's Seattle, and then maybe it's Cleveland. Let's see. My fucking
internet. Oakland's got to be ahead of us.
Oh, no. So Oakland currently has the second wild card spot. The Mariners are a game and a half back from them, and we're 3.5 back. Then Toronto's 4. Indians are 5. RIP to the Indians. I mean, the Angels are 5.5 back. And they're getting Trout back. But
under the system, most teams stay in this race, too.
It's the problem with this system. I mean, we're letting everybody into the playoffs. So we can make a run. And it doesn't even have to be a super dramatic run, because Oakland and Seattle could kind of cannibalize each other if they just kind of, like, split. If you look at the teams that are in playoff spots, and how we play against them, we get our fucking dicks kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people keep saying, I don't see a team in the American League that could beat us if we got in the playoffs. I mean, look at every series against Boston and Tampa. We're not winning a seven-game series against those teams.
No, they're not going to win a one-game wild card at the Trop either. Can you imagine what a disaster that would be? I don't care if Cole's going. He'll go six innings, one run or whatever, and the Rays relievers will shut us down and lose 1-0 or something. They are not winning a wild card game at the Trop.
Oh, my God, a wild card game at the Trop, and they'll just, like, trot out some dude in the eighth inning who's, like, pudgy as shit, throws 104 miles an hour, and he's making his MLB debut. It's just like, yep. Here's his debut in the playoffs.
They'll throw eight different relievers over nine innings and shut us down.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even worth it. Or the wild card game would be at Fenway. The Fenway meltdowns are just – there's something that – there's, like, an extra level of brutality to them, like an extra level of pain. I don't know what it is, but it feels like they always just get walked off at Fenway.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the – they've gotten more and more embarrassing and more painful, the losses. Like, it's not – like, go out – if you're going to lose, go out there and get blown out and give me my weekend.
Oh, for sure. And they have – I think they have three losses where they've – going into the eighth inning, they've led by four runs or more. And that's the most they've had since 1993. Like, you're supposed to have maybe one of those losses a year. And they've had – it seems like only three of those, but it seems like there's been five or six – devastating meltdown.
You're not supposed to have any of those when you spend $30 million for your eighth and ninth inning.
That's true. That's true. I'm willing to give them one. But, I mean, come on. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. We've seen some signs of life out of Tyone. Herman looked good. So, like, it gives you hope for, like, a future that maybe these guys could figure it out. But, again, I need to see this for, like, a long period of time. I need to see, like, a decent season, not three good starts after you get chased in the first inning in Philly.
Yeah, my next comment was going to be the stat that I saw was since the Philly start, Tyone has a 2.9 ERA. It's like, great, man. Where were you when me and you were taking those JMO shots at 11 a.m.?
With Dan. Dan was there with us. He was doing shots.
Begging for a quality start. You were nowhere to be found. And now, and it just fits in with that too little, too late. It's the same thing with Glaber. Now he's kind of getting it together, you know, 3 months after the season started. And the guys that were playing well in the beginning, like Chapman, have slumped. And they're just not on the same page. They're just not clicking.
No one's finding the stream. So someone had tweeted, I think you retweeted it, about our record compared to 2016.
Yes, where, yes.
At this point in the season, 98 games, we are one game better than that team.
Yeah.
Oh, I think all we need is Joey Gallo. And Trevor Story. And Trevor Story is going to play center field, which he's never played before.
Yeah. It's like, well, we're going to get Trevor Story. He's a great shortstop. But you know what? We're putting him in center. Like, what the fuck is the plan? You know what's so frustrating about this deadline is that 2019 and 2020, we were actually kind of good, and we were begging for a move. We were like, all right, we're a 100-win team, and a move puts us over the top. And Cashman was like, nah, we'll just let it ride. Now that we're an 82-win team, he wants to go all in and get us to an 86-win team. I'm convinced he's just content on building an ALDS roster. And once he has an ALDS-level roster, he's good. Because that's the vibes that I'm getting.
I don't think he's content with it. I just think he's lost touch. I think he's lost touch with the game and what you need to build a successful team and really an organization as a whole, because you do need that. You need the depth of some guys who can come up from AAA later in the season. Like, you need that, whatever it is. If it's a reliever that fucking can eat up some innings late in the season and contribute to that, we never have that. Instead, we're sending Hoy Park to a guy, and like, hey, Holmes, I see he gets a lot of ground balls, which, hey, it's about time someone else had a triple play, had a double play in a game, you know, besides us hitting into them. And we really haven't had that. Like, we have the Scranton shuttle, and we know who these guys are because they come up, they stink, and we send them right back down. And that's the only reason why we know who they are. We need to develop a system where come July, there's a prospect that's getting a call up, not because of like a catastrophic injury and we've got to try to bring him up earlier than anticipated, but because, like, hey, he's ready. It's time. This guy can contribute at the major league level. And we just don't have that.
That's the key. Contribute. be healthy and contribute, because for the past 3 years, that name has been Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt's our best pitching prospect. Clark Schmidt's going to come up and eat innings. Clark Schmidt's this. He finally, I think, threw today after in February they said he'd be shut down 3 to 4 weeks. So
yes.
six months later, he finally threw a bullpen or whatever. Like, I don't want to hear in the offseason, oh, Clark Schmidt's a contender for the rotation. Clark Schmidt's going to do this. The guy doesn't fucking pitch. He doesn't pitch. Half of our prospects are injured anyway.
I looked up his stats earlier today, too. And, like, in the major leagues, he has not been great thus far.
It's been what? Like, he threw 5 or 6 innings last year? But
yeah,
the point is,
games,
the guy doesn't
six
even
innings,
get out there. Yeah.
7 ERA, 1.8 whip, 4.3 FIP for the nerds. Make them happy. Let me see. I'll find something with an X in front of it and tell you that stat.
Oh,
well, he's. His lowercase W, lowercase a, capital WL percentage is 445. Is that good? I don't even know what that is. Win loss at with average team, whatever. This guy stinks.
Terrible. And Davey stinks. I think Davey is up to like an 8 ERA.
Is he alive?
Triple A.
He's still around?
Little Pedro with the 8 ERA at Scranton. Superstar.
Playing so poorly this year, he's not even coming up in trade talks.
No, we even caught up Asher Wojciechowski instead of him and cut him the next day.
Yeah.
Davey's really falling off.
Yeah, it's not good. So there are people who think we should buy.
Yeah, let's do this. Okay.
Damn, you're ready for a fight.
Yeah, no, we need to shut these people down. We're 4 moves away, probably, from winning a championship.
Okay, what are your 4 moves?
They need a shortstop, they need another reliever, they need a center fielder, and they need another starter. So those are my 4 moves.
I have said for a long time that we could get a shortstop. Part of it, you know, I wanted to get Lindor, Trey Judge, and I think that Glaber could play the outfield. And people thought it was insane, and now we're going to trade for Trevor Story well into his career, also a shortstop, and move him to center field. Okay. Here's all right. So, one, I'm starting to worry that Hal is in like a Britney Spears type like situation where he's being held hostage, and you know, he inherited his dad's money, and I think maybe Brian Cashman may like have something on him. He like blink twice if you don't feel safe, Hal, like something weird going on. But if he doesn't have a free Britney type situation where this conservatorship of Brian Cashman running your team for you, I think it's a very simple conversation. Let's say Brian Cashman negotiates a trade, right? And he's got a trade for Joey Gallo, Trevor Story, one of the two, right? We'll say those are the top two guys that he'd want to get. So let's say he figures out, I don't even care who's in the trade. I'm Hal Steinbrenner. Brian Cashman comes to my office, goes, Hal, I got a trade. We got it for Story. We've got Gallo, whatever it is. We're giving it. It's not even a bad trade. We're not even giving up, you know, mini Pedro or whatever. I think the trade all hinges on a very simple question. If Brian Cashman wants to go out and buy, will we win the World Series if you make this trade? And if Brian Cashman says, oh, I think it's going to, you know, I think it makes us better, puts us in a better position, that is not the answer. Because if Brian Cashman wants to buy, I think it's very simple. You can go out and buy. You're the general manager. You're the president of this team. But if we do not win the World Series, I don't care if we make the World Series. I don't care if we get to Game 7 of ALCS. If we do not win the World Series, you are fired. That's it. How much do you believe in this team that now you're going to go out and spend my money, go over the luxury tax? You'll go over the luxury tax when you're not a half back in the division. Go over the luxury tax. You have to win the World Series. Anything short is catastrophic failure. It's not just failure, the regular, oh, we didn't win the World Series. It's failure. Catastrophic, because you've now traded away prospects. We're in the luxury tax. That compounds over time, so it hurts us for future years trying to reset the tax, and now we are not competitive for 3 years.
Yeah, well said. And Trevor Story does not turn us into a World Series team. I think everybody knows that. Now, look, if you want to trade for him and then extend him and you want to make him the shortstop, I mean, fine. I'd rather have Corey Seager. But to just give up prospects for him for a rental to go from 83 to 85 wins is fucking stupid.
also, like, people, I've seen people say, like, this trade isn't even about this year. It's about the future. His contract is expiring. You can buy him for the same amount of money it would cost you, but without prospects in the offseason. But he's still also right-handed.
Exactly. He also strikes out a ton for a shortstop. So I don't know what – like, he'll improve the defense, and I tweeted it'd be nice to have a real shortstop. But if you're going to spend on one of these shortstop, Corey Seager is obviously the guy being left-handed. I don't know. Like, the Rays are still going to be able to throw – bunch of righties out of the pen to shut us down in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, even if we have Trevor Story. Like he's right-handed. You're right. It doesn't make a ton of sense, and it really doesn't make a ton of sense to, like you said, give up prospects for a guy that you can just buy and outbid everybody anyway.
Based on, one, just reality, just me being in touch with reality, and the trade that we saw today, I think people are just throwing out the Yankees name. I don't think we're the favorite to get Gallo. I don't think we're the favorite to get Story. There are teams that are a piece or two pieces away that have way better prospects than we do, that should offer way more than we do.
Yeah, I agree.
The same
and the Rockies
teams,
are obviously going to sell.
Like, anyone who says you could trade Aaron Judge to the Padres, to the Giants, to the Dodgers, why can't Joey Gallo go there?
Yeah, great point. And
pretty much the same situation.
Sky high. Yeah.
It's pretty much the same guy with less injuries.
The Padres are getting somebody. They already got, was it Adam Frazier, I think, in Pittsburgh. But they're super aggressive. You could see them making another move. And look, they're not waiting in the weeds lurking like a ninja. They're just going out and fucking making moves. How about that? What a concept.
Yeah, just go out there and set the market. I just can't see a way where it makes business sense. And I get it. I'm a passionate Yankee fan. The reason I'm here talking about this is because I'm passionate about this team. But you have to be realistic at times. And the idea that this team is going to win the World Series is just, like, so insane. So insane. So insane.
It's the blinders, man. Like you said, it's just the fans. We grow up with the team. We love the team, and some people just can't take the blinders off. But when you watch – what I don't understand is everybody that wants to buy and thinks we can win, you know, you're watching this team every night. You're watching them make the same mistakes on the bases, the same bullpen blow-ups. They're not improving. They're not improving in the areas that they suck. Like, it's not like they're turning any kind of corner or they've improved in any areas. It's the same shit that we saw in April. So what are people seeing that makes them believe that they're a Trevor Story away from holding a trophy up?
Blind faith. Just if I think really hard about how good they could be, they'll be that good. That's really what it comes down to. And I mean, we've got three at the Trop.
Ugh. Yeah.
There's no Glasnow, right? He's still out.
He's still out.
I mean,
you have Montgomery, Cole, and
you need a sweep to stay alive.
Sweep at the Trop. That's a good one.
You have to go out there and you have to sweep the Rays on trade deadline week, who just added Nelson Cruz,
who kills us. He had a walk-off homer against us. Let's not forget, in Minnesota a month ago. Absolutely hammers the Yankees.
Before we get to even Thursday, like, they are probably going to add pitching. They're going after Charlie Morton. They're trying to bring him back. Atlanta's,
and they're going after Scherzer, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God.
We may have to face Max Scherzer this week at the Trop.
It's a no-hitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Dan, aren't you going to the game on Thursday at the Trop?
Yeah, I'm kind of rethinking that now.
At least it's a cold game. You picked the right one.
Yeah, it's a day game too, so that's nice.
How long's that drive?
3 hours. Not too bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Little day trip.
What do you go, across 10 or across 4?
Usually 4, but the traffic's pretty bad, so there's some back roads to get there.
What's the bar scene like outside of the Trop?
What?
No idea.
There is not one.
Okay.
Yeah, there it's in a terrible location. It sucks.
I know a guy who lives down there who he charges his Tesla there at the parking lot. And he goes, it sucks because there's nothing to do. So I just have to sit in my car. Like, there's a, like, St. Pete has, there's a bit of a scene there. I've gone to, like, some breweries there, but no, there's nothing, like, there's no, like, bar across the street. Have you never been to the Trop?
I've never been to the Trop. I've been to Yankee Spring Training, the complex, but I've never been to
the Trop. There's a strip club across the street from there, at least.
Yeah, Mons Venus.
Yeah, but, like, no, there's an even, like, smaller, seedier one.
Oh, there is. Oh, but, Scores?
No, I forget the name of it. Okay. Maybe it's Scores. I don't know. Yeah. I parked in their parking lot one time. Nice. Yeah, no, there's nothing in Tampa. There is just, there's absolutely no, like, when I say nothing, I'm not like, oh, it's like a bad scene. It's like Citi Field. There is no option, but there's not even a McFadden's like attached to the stadium. There is nothing to do there besides go to the game.
So if you want a drink, you go inside and buy $15 beers and drink them.
They have good prices.
Yeah.
The Trop.
Yeah. Yeah, the Trop. I mean, because it's all old people. You're not getting a lot of, you know, you're trying to get some a couple blue haireds out there to buy something. They also have, like, all you can drink tickets, too. That's when you know it's a fucking party of a stadium.
It's crazy hearing about the all you can drink, all you can eat deals from other places because we just don't have them. Like Baltimore has an all you can eat thing. You just mentioned the all you can drink thing in Tampa. We just don't do any of those specials, but it's crazy when I hear about them from other teams.
No, so there is a like all you can. I don't know. I should know. I'm supposed to be the food guy, but when we went to that Red Sox game and we were in Delta, the Chris there told me like it's a thing they added this year. They have some kind of all you can drink thing. It's kind of new. Because even like Legends, you're paying $1,000. You get food. Yeah. You can't. You still got to pay for drinks.
I'm surprised I haven't gotten 75 emails about that. If that's something new they rolled out, because the Yankees.
I haven't seen anything ever. I even said to them, I was like, I haven't heard anything about this anywhere. Yeah. No. I mean, so I like realistically. Anything less than a sweep is, I mean, that's got to be more people saying something. Like, I know the season's done.
Yeah, assuming let's say they win one, that puts them at 52-49. So they're three games over 500 at the deadline. That's not enough to buy. We know the season's over. We knew it. I think for me and you is that it was the week between when we went to that awful Red Sox Friday night game. And then the next weekend was we got swept in Philly. Like, that was the time where I knew, like, all right, this isn't happening. And not everybody's had that moment yet, but they will.
Yeah, it was – that's when it clicked to just, like – it went from, like, we might not win the World Series. Like, this is going to be tough to, like, we need to sell. Like, we need to – let's be proactive about this.
It was a weird swing because there was the stretch in late May where I think they went – they had a stretch where they won 23 out of 30. Kluber threw the no-hitter. The rotation was on fire. I think they got to within two games of the Red Sox. Like, oh, we're going to be fine. And then June came. We got swept by the Red Sox, and everything just tanked from there.
Yeah. We've finally got our run differential to five. But again,
I mean, Blue Jays' run differential? It's like plus 90, and we're plus five or something. They're so much
plus
better
86.
They're going to finish ahead of us. Yeah, they're going to finish ahead of us for sure.
The Mariners are ahead of us. They're at minus 52.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's really weird. But, like, again, you look, I feel like I get on here every week, and it's like, whatever the week is that we had, oh, we did this week, we went 500 this week. The last 10 games, 5-5, 5-5, 5-5. We continue to play over the stretches worse than we have played as, on the whole of a season. Like, there's not that 7-3 week. There's not that 8-2 week where it's like, oh, well, there you go. That's a sign of something. We're playing 500 baseball.
None at all. And going into last week, you said the worst thing that could happen would be splitting in Fenway. And they were three outs away basically from doing that. Is there any part of you that's like, you know what, it's better that they lost on Sunday?
No, I'm never going to cheer against the Yankees. I can't do it. I've thought about it. My wife has asked me, she's like, are you – because I'm so fucking hate watching.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I still have it on. I mean, we all do. We're fucking sickos. If you're listening to this and you're watching the games and you're feeling like a fucking weirdo, like, we're all doing it because we're all fucking losers. I mean, it's on the second TV, but still. And my wife has asked, like, are you like, you want them to lose now? And I'm just like, no, I don't. I want them to win. I want them to win every game. But being rational, trying to put on an entertaining show, I can't come on here and be like, oh, we got hope. I know a lot of other shows are doing it. I'm not even trying to like shade them. That's their thing. We got hope. What if we turn it around? We've got Luke Voigt on the show today, or, you know, we've got Tyler Wade's haircut. Whatever. That's not us. We're trying to come to you as the same frustrated fucking fans who, even though this team is 4 games over .500, they've been .500 for their last 10 games, probably .500 for their last 20. Like, it just keeps going, being mediocre, blowing these games. It's frustrating. And I think the best way to make things better, and this is the last time I get to say this before the trade deadline. So I'm going down the same way I've been for a long time. If I get on this fucking call next week and Aaron Judge is still a New York Yankee, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. So fucking pissed. And we don't even know, like, he's going to Tampa. Higgy's out for a long time, too. So I question if he's vaxxed. They're going down to Tampa. He's supposed to be available. Who knows what the fuck that even means anymore?
He's not playing Tuesday. Let's get that out of the way.
I know Tuesday's not an option. But, like, okay. Is that Wednesday? Is that Thursday? Is he available off the bench? Like, what are we even showcasing here? And then that's it, because before the game on Friday night, the trade deadline will have come and gone. And I think if we still have Aaron Judge, Aroldis Chapman, Zach Britton, Gary Sanchez, if we still have all of those guys on the team, it is going to be a rough couple of years.
Yeah, next year is really going to suck, because you're going to have Britton and Chapman on the hook for another $34 million, and you're going to have Judge and Sanchez in their walk years with uncertain futures. Like, next year could be really bad. Next year could be worse.
Yeah. And Aaron Judge is having a great season. I think he's selfish. I don't think he cares about the team. I think he's a moron. But guy's having a great season. Arbitration, not going to be friendly if we have to go to it. So we're going to have to end up paying him some money.
That is going to be ugly. He'll get like they'll probably settle around $15 million or something. But yeah, next year,
I mean,
next
year could more money. It's still more money he's making this year. We didn't win a World Series when he cost $600,000.
Nah, that was our best chance too in 2017.
Yeah,
and we're going to hear this offseason though. Severino's going to come back. We've been hearing for 4 fucking years that Sevy's going to come back and save the day. Like, go out and get real pitching this offseason. Please don't tell me that you're counting on Luis Severino to come back as a 2-starter. Scherzer's going to be out there. There's going to be other guys out there over the winter. Show you mean business. Sign Corey Seager. Sign a real legit number 2 starting pitcher. But yeah, to run it back with the same Judge Sanchez crew, just the same cast of characters, it's not going to work.
I think if we keep all those guys that I mentioned, and I'm not saying every one of them has to go, because the trades have to be there. Someone has to want them, you know. But if we are carrying all those salaries, we're not getting Corey Seager.
No, you're right.
We're not going out.
Even though he's the perfect fit.
Yeah, we're not going and getting Trevor Story. We're not going out and getting a big name free agent if you are running back a team that's right up against the luxury tax right now, that's only going to arbitration up more money.
And that goes back to what you said. You said Cashman has lost the feel of how to build a team. A smart GM does not spend $34 million on 2 relievers. Think about what they could do. Let's just say you magically get rid of Britton and Chapman tomorrow. You could sign Corey Seager for $25 million a year or whatever, and another stud somewhere.
Yeah.
But instead they have these 2 relievers, albeit they're question marks. These aren't even like lockdown stud relievers. Britton has no command. Chapman's all over the place. We're paying him $34 million. You think about the other things they could do with that money, and that goes back to why we blame Cashman more than Hal. It's like you're not allocating the $200 million properly.
You get rid of those guys. You go out. You get Seager, let's say $25 million. Maybe we backload the contract, whatever, $25 million. You've got Kluber coming off the books. This is another 11 you've got to play with. You could find with the $20 million between Kluber and what's left from those guys, you could find two good pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really good pitchers. Now you've got Gleyber Torres as your right fielder. Stanton has to play left field, or you have to shoot him. You just have to get someone to shoot him and go to jail for a bit, and that's fine. Don't snitch. Your family's taken care of. And you got to hope for something out of Hicks next year. Because I don't know that you'll go out and get a shortstop unless you have Florial. If we're going to let him fucking develop and be the guy, maybe you move Hicks to left.
Yeah, I'm making Hicks the left fielder next
year. You get Stanton. Sure. I mean, Stanton has to play some outfield. You just have to keep those muscles going. And now, like, you know, hey, it's not the – is it the best lineup in the world? Maybe, maybe not. You got to figure out first base because Luke Voit's not that guy.
He's not. He's
great
not.
Guy, Anthony great
Rizzo.
Player.
Anthony Rizzo is a name that I think – I don't know if he's a free agent this year or next year, but he's left-handed. Great guy. Perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. Actually plays.
I think he's that could be a name that could be in play. Sox.
Oh, my God. Great. It's a shame with Voit, man. Like, the guy just – he is – like you said, he is a great guy. He's a great team. It just hasn't fucking played all year.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go into next year counting on him and Hicks. Guys that just don't play.
Yeah. Tries to get back. Like, all – like – there's, I never question like what Voit's doing while he's injured. Aaron Judge won't even Instagram post a video until I call him out for not being a good leader. But yeah, no, I think this is, Rizzo's a free agent. The Cubs are about to have a fire sale.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. They got Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. These guys are going to be available. So we're not the only ones out there. That's the other tough thing. Like, there are other teams with very good players that are going to be making moves. That's why I think we need to strike fast.
And Cashman doesn't go a millimeter over what he thinks is the right price or the right value. Like, if Boston's offering more, they'll get the guy that they want. Cashman never ups his offer with prospects if another team does. He just doesn't do it. He admits it after the deadline.
It's another reason why I think he has to go. Like, when you're just in the job for too long, you're in that procurement role for too long, people have a set way that they're going to work with you.
You're right, man. Dan, you got some trivia, little segment today?
I do. This question, a little different. It's a little weird.
All right.
So on March 4th, 1974, that's during spring training, two Yankees pitchers
love this.
Press conference. They held a press conference and they announced something like very odd. So who were the pitchers and what did they announce?
I don't remember their names, but this is when they traded families.
Wife swap. Yeah, it's a wife swap.
It wasn't even a wife swap. It was full on families.
Yeah.
One of the couples is still together.
Yep. It was Mike Kiechek and Fritz Peterson. They swapped wives and then they swapped families and even the dogs.
Jeez, that's savage. Throwing in the dogs is savage.
What a press conference to announce it.
The whole story with that, too, it's like, we were out to dinner or whatever, and then we joked, like, oh, let's just swap wives for the drive, and then, like, for the ride home, and then, like, the other couple just showed up, like, 3 hours later and was just like, yeah, like, we've just been, like, fucking. Now we're together.
And how long did it last?
So,
one of the couples is still together.
Yeah.
Oh, like, they never switched back?
No. This was, couple, like, yeah.
One couple fizzled out quickly is what it says, and then the other ones are still married.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens to the other family?
It's just the same as, like, let's say, like, you and Jamie hang out with whatever couple you hang out with all the time. Like, you've got a coworker who's married, and you guys just happen to get together a lot. And then over the course of, like, 2 years, you realize, like, I'd rather be with her. She'd rather be with him. They'd rather be together. And they just, like, did it. They tried to make it sound very natural, and word got out about it. So they had a press conference.
Press conference.
During spring training.
During the Steinbrenner years, too. That must have been electric. Was George there?
George probably had to watch or get, like, first shot. Prima Nocta.
That is good trivia. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. That's the fun side of baseball.
Really? That's that? And what is it? Teixeira and McCann are stepbrothers?
Wait, what?
It's either, I think it's Teixeira's mom and McCann's dad have gotten to got married like maybe like 5 years ago. Dan will find it. He's looking it up.
What?
I think it's Teixeira and McCann, yeah, are stepbrothers.
And they play.
So
how do I not know this?
Mark Teixeira and Brian McCann will soon be stepbrothers. Brian McCann's mother, Sherry, revealed Wednesday she's marrying Mark Teixeira's father, John, this winter while standing in line with Bleacher.
Wow. I did not know that.
Makes sense. Two, like, military, boring white guys, you know, probably similar families, similar backgrounds.
That's a fun fact. I had no idea about that.
Yeah. Teammates for, what, 3 seasons?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's weird. I guess I wonder if that's how they met.
I'm sure they met at Yankee Stadium, you would think.
Who's Garrett Cole's sister married to?
So Garrett Cole's Brandon Crawford is Garrett Cole's wife's brother.
It's their brother-in-laws.
Yeah. Which is nice. They go to the All-Star game, they hang out as family. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. I just saw some TikTok and it's like from Philly and it's a guy getting fired. It might not even be real. But it's a guy like getting fired from like a construction job. And he's like, hey, it just didn't work out, you know, heavy Delco. And the guy's like, all right. He's like, I know the real reason though. And he's like, what? He's like, because every Friday after I get my check, I go down the show and tell and get a lap dance from your fucking daughter. And he's like, I don't need to hear that shit here at work. Like, I was like, oh man, I hope that's real. Like, I kind of want to go to show and tell on Friday. I know, like, who's the chick from TikTok?
I went there once. We used to do like college outings. Like, we'd have pledges drive from Delaware.
Yeah, you could bring a keg. You could roll a keg.
Yeah,
in
it was
there.
BYOB. We'd bring a keg, and you were allowed to bring a keg, and it was unreal. It was unreal.
Yeah, I went there. I've probably been there like 3 times, but the first time I went there, it was my buddy Lyons, who we do Lyons Day for.
Yep.
Shout to Summer Lyons Day. First Summer Lyons Day happening not this weekend, but the next weekend. And he was like, yo, my brother's turning 18. So I want to like have him come in from Lancaster and we're going to take him to show and tell. And I was just like, I don't really know this dude. Like, I don't know your brother. I don't really care. Like, I don't care at all. Like, it's not even like I'm like some of my friends, like I know their brothers, like, you know. I don't even know your brother, but like, yeah, I'll go to show and tell, like, no problem. We went in there and it was like dead. It was, I guess, early on a Friday. It was probably only like 8 o'clock. One chick was just laying on the stage, just scratching her pussy. Like, that was it. Like, she just got an itch. I was like, this is not for me. I got to get out of here.
It's a nice visual. Yeah. We go there and then we go to Pat's Geno's or whatever, and then head back to Delaware. Fun Brotherhood Unity events.
Fuck. Yeah. We did learn right before we started recording that intern Dan, has been on every roller coaster in the state of Florida.
That's facts.
What a weird... You know, in Montana, there's only 2 escalators in the whole state.
No way.
Yeah. You know, there's only 25 blimps in the world?
Yeah, I knew that.
Dude, where are you're coming out with facts. You know, there are 25 blimps?
Did you know there are only 14 lesbian bars in the United States?
That kind of makes sense. But a million gay bars, I'm sure.
The 15th one was in Philly, and it closed like during COVID.
So like Woody's only counts as a gay
bar. That's a gay bar. It's not a lesbian bar. No. Okay. Like there was one in Philly called like Sisters or something like that. Like it's got to be like going to, you know, where we're trying to go for a certain market.
How many guys do you think try to like go in there and like pick up some lesbians and like have a threesome and got shut down every time? Probably
like a billion, like all the time. They probably have a way to suss that out. Like the second you walk in the door.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's probably just someone who's just like, no, leave. I'd love to hang out in a lesbian bar. Just fucking talk sports, hang out.
That sounds pretty fun.
No pressure.
Sure, they got the games on. Yeah.
You ever gone to a gay bar?
I've been to Woody's once.
Yeah, we walked by like one time and it was like happy hour, dollar beers. And it was with Lions. And I was like, dude, let's go in there and get some fucking dollar beers. So like, just went in and just started drinking beers at a gay bar because they were a dollar. And he's a very good looking guy. So people started talking to him. Like no one wanted to fuck me. So that hurt my ego, but whatever.
Jamie has this like kind of gay best friend that took us to Woody's. He's like, I promise it's fun. And he took us upstairs and it's actually like a club up there.
Oh yeah.
Like, they have strobe lights. They got smoke. They had a sick DJ. I was like, I had no idea this was up here.
The only people who think like gay bars are weird that are straight guys. Well, these guys are going to try to fuck me. No, they're not. No, they're not at all. They're not at all. I went on a bar crawl. I go on a Hanukkah bar crawl. Well, I don't anymore because I'm a dad, but I used to go on a Hanukkah bar crawl. I'm also not Jewish at all. But I know these people, and they do a bar crawl in Philly, and the bars would start with like the letters of Hanukkah. So it starts with the C, H, okay. whatever.
Yeah.
And I forget where on which one we ended up, but we ended up like in a gay bar. And I was wearing this thing of like Christmas lights like around my neck. Like I really stood out. And a guy bought me a drink. And it's probably like the biggest high like in my life. My wife was right there too. And I was just like, this is fucking sick. Like this guy just bought me a drink. I was drunk. I didn't shut up about it the rest of the night. I was like, guy fucking bought me a drink. Like he was a cute guy too. Like my wife at a certain point was like, fuck it. What is going on here?
Trying to make her a little jealous. I'm not crazy about bar crawls. I feel like every time I get into a groove at the bar, it's like, all right, time to go to the next bar. Like I kind of like what you do with Lions Day. Like I get somewhere, I get settled, and start drinking. I'm not crazy about hopping around all day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's why like I would never organize one, but like occasionally I'll do one. Like if someone's doing it, it depends who's running it too. Like I know people running a tight ship. Like if I can get on a rhythm, you deliver that cadence, I can do that. I can drink to that cadence. But if it gets like all over the place, or we end up, you know, behind schedule, so now it's like we got 4 minutes at this bar, and it's like, well, then we're not here. Then we're not here. We didn't come here.
I can't do that. I can't deal with it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we got. I mean, next week is going to motherfucker, man. The mayor De Blasio's on City Island, where I grew up. That guy sucks.
Yeah,
fucking worse. Someone should hit him with a fucking tray at Johnny's Reef. Hey, that's all we got for this week. We're going to see. It's going to be an interesting week. Dan will be tweeting live from the game Thursday. Cole Scherzer, that's going to be sick. Cole Charlie Morton, that's going to be sick. Can't wait. You can follow. Let's start with Dan. Dan, where can we follow you on Twitter?
Juski99.
Fuck yeah, you can. You can follow the show at George's Box Pod. Nick, where do we follow you?
NKirbyNYY.
Follow me at JJ from the Bronx if you want to see me fight with people about the trade deadline for the next week. I don't know when it's going to be, but we'll see you at the parade.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.